Good day. Welcome to the Contracts for Biz podcast channel. Today we'll be unpacking.
Lease agreements are widely used when one is renting property for residential and commercial purposes. It is extremely important that the lessee and the lessor both understand what they are signing. I have with me today Nicoline Skumanlo to walk us through these agreements. Nicoline, take us through what the differences are between a residential lease agreement and a commercial lease agreement.
Well, first and foremost, the main difference is actually denoted by the name of the agreement itself. A residential lease agreement deals with residential property or property that you would reside in, while commercial lease agreements deal with properties that are leased for purposes of running a business of some sort. So in essence, that's the main difference between the two. In addition to that, the residential space in terms of lease agreements is regulated by the Rental Housing Act and may even be regulated in some instances by the Consumer Protection Act, but more about that a little later. While in the sense of the commercial lease agreement, it is pretty much regulated by the law of contract and common law, and may also have or touch on the Consumer Protection Act in terms of its implications.
So does the Consumer Protection Act apply to commercial or residential lease agreements, or in what instances would it apply?
Well, the Consumer Protection Act was enacted in the same space of time as the Companies Act was amended in our country. And that was roundabout in 2012 when it became effective. So it's fairly new in that context. However, it deals with a range of consumer-related issues, such as the ability to cancel a fixed-term agreement, and that's really where your commercial or residential leases come into play in that context itself. It also deals with cancellation of the agreement shortly after you've entered into it, and then a range of guarantees and product-related provisions, which obviously are not quite relevant at this point. But it's important to actually analyze the particular transaction you'll be entering into as a lessee, or for that matter, as a lessor. From a commercial perspective, I think it's a little easier to establish whether or not the CPA or the Consumer Protection Act applies, because it applies to situations where these agreements are entered into in the normal course of business. And in a commercial sense, when a lessor has a commercial property for rent, it is usually for purposes of regular occurrence or normal course of business, and therefore it's quite easy to establish from that perspective. However, in the case of larger consumers, and larger consumers is defined in the Act as being a juristic person and a juristic person above a certain threshold in turnover. So if your business is slightly bigger than the prescribed turnover rate, then the CPA may actually not apply to the agreement and you're back to the contents of the lease. In respect of the residential lease agreement, again, if you're dealing with a property owner or a landlord that often rents out properties or has multiple properties, an argument could surely be made that it is in the normal course of business. But again, if you are not renting as an individual or a natural person, as we say in law, but through a juristic person, such as a company or a close corporation or a trust even, then it may be excluded. But importantly, the provisions of the Rental Housing Act setting the minimum standards will always apply to residential lease agreements. And to a large extent, it actually embodies many of the provisions of the Consumer Protection Act. Of course, not in regards to the cancellations that we spoke about. That is really something that falls within the CPA only.
Okay. Now, one of the consequences of breaching a lease agreement at times is eviction proceedings. Now, can you please take us through the different processes that apply to residential lease agreements in terms of evictions and those that apply to commercial lease agreements?
Well, let's start with residential. If you don't pay your rent for a certain space in time, it's usually between 3 and 6 months. But of course, your landlord could have the right to notify you of your breach of agreement in month one already. And it's really not recommended that lessees set off any form of damages or dissatisfaction of any kind by withholding the payment of their lease agreement fee or their monthly lease fee, and under any circumstances. Rather, get advice if you are in a situation where you feel you want to make a deduction. Be that as it may, if you're outstanding for a long enough period of time, as I say, depending on the jurisdiction, it's usually seen to be between 3 and 6 months, then your landlord can actually evict you from your residential property. And it's basically a court process. It's an application that is made. It's quite onerous on the part of the landlord, and it is quite costly. But at the end of it, if you haven't paid and you are then found by the court to be in unlawful possession of the property, you'll in all likelihood be evicted, which means that the longer you postpone dealing with the situation, the more the amount that is outstanding will increase, and you may even be liable for legal costs. On the side of the commercial lease agreement, it's a commercial agreement, so the provisions regarding eviction doesn't apply. There we see mechanisms such as the rent interdict summons and the landlord's tacit hypertech being applied, which means your landlord will actually make an application to court to attach whatever you have in the property itself to secure their payments for the remainder of the lease term. In addition, you would probably have signed surety if you are leasing in a different capacity than in your individual capacity, which means that it could have some serious effects on your personal the personal side of things. And therefore, once again, if you are running into trouble paying your monthly lease, it's much better to seek some advice and to negotiate with your landlord and avoid all of these additional costs and risks.
Now, lease agreements are usually one-sided, favoring the lessor. And now, what should a lessee entering such an agreement to look out for?
Well, I think, well, from a global perspective in terms of any type of agreement, mutually beneficial agreements tend to be the most profitable for both sides of it. So any one-sided agreement, whether a lease or not, is really a bad idea. But unfortunately, we have seen particularly commercial lease agreements being very one-sided, and predominantly in cases where the landlord is fairly astute, has many properties, has a large portfolio, and the lessee really needs the property and doesn't really negotiate on any of the terms. So before you sign, it's crucially important for you to look at things like your actual lease amount and any of the add-ons in the case of a commercial lease agreement. So we often see that utilities and refuse removal and all sorts of council fees, etc., are added on to the actual rental amount. Make sure that you get an accounting of that you can be sure that it's not an inflated amount and is reflective of what is reasonable. Secondly, you need to look at things like your surety provision that you may have signed, that it's not too onerous and that it's fair. And then obviously we actually recommend that if you have the option not to actually sign the surety at all, as this is a risk element in any situation, good or bad. Sometimes things happen that are outside of our control. In terms of the other aspects to look at, from a commercial perspective, to look at what would happen if the building is to be renovated, or perhaps something happens, an accident, a part of the building is inaccessible, etc., etc. So really to consider what the impact would be if you cannot get into your leased space, and what portion of that the landlord is actually going to be compromising with you on, and what portion they are not. And then last but not least, the obligations of both sides. What is my responsibility and what is your responsibility? And to ensure that you actually understand both sides of it. as a residential tenant, it's very important similarly to look at exactly what your lease amount includes. Is it comprehensive, or are there any perhaps unsuspecting add-ons that you'll be looking at paying? And these are very important from a planning perspective. Also, your obligations, and then of course, in case of both, you need to see if the Consumer Protection Act applies, and if it does, you need to work it into the agreement if it isn't already.
Thank you, Nicolene.
Thank you for joining us today. For any further information about this legal document or product that we discussed today, please go to contractsforbiz.co.za, or if you need the services of an attorney, go to skumanlaw.co.za. We'll gladly assist.